I want Brother Richard Moore, if you come stand over here. Brother Richard Moore, evangelist, is probably my longest friend in America. I met him in 1988, within probably a few weeks of landing in the country. And he travels as an evangelist all over the world. Actually just got back from Latvia and is heading actually up into Siberia in a few weeks. I told him, my God, he's going to the frozen chosen. But everywhere he goes, revival's breaking out. And God touched him in those early days. 1990, the fire of God came on him. He's also kept the revival and the fire. And I want to recommend him. He's based out of our church. I know him, his wife, his precious daughter. And I want to recommend him to any of your ministries. If you want anyone to come in and have a revival for a week or even extended, whatever. Everywhere he goes. I just heard back from Denmark, and they've had many speakers through. They said you were one of the best they ever had. And I think he was blown away, you know, because he's had so many major ministries through there in Copenhagen. And so when I introduced Brother Richard to him, he kind of, well, you know, I'll have him. And after the first night, I mean, all heaven broke loose. And I kept getting texts from Denmark. They said, you won't believe what's going on. I said, oh, no, I believe what's happening. So I just want to encourage you. I know him. He loves God with all his heart, carries the fire of revival. So if you're a pastor here and you would like to have him come, then grab a hold of him and give him the mic. Just greet the folk if you're able to.
Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is good, isn't he? You know, it's amazing how you can be okay sitting in your seat till you come stand up here. But the Lord is good. You know,
he says to me, he says, you do this to me every time. He said, people are going to think I can't preach, you know. And but trust me, he does the work that God's called him to. So don't let this be any gauge here, you know.
I think that I can say this, is that, you know, okay. All right.
Well, that's powerful. How many enjoyed that? That's powerful.
You know, after this morning and after last night, you know, I can just tell you this, that since 1989, you know, it's just as fresh. It's just as wonderful. It's just as new. And seeing people get touched the way they were last night is, after over 20-some years, it's just like it. It's just like it was when it first started happening. It hasn't gotten old. It hasn't gotten to the place to where, we've had that before, let's move on. No, it's just as fresh. Matter of fact, it just makes you want more. And, you know, that's the thing I have found in common with those of us that have experienced God, is the thing we have in common is that we all want more. And just press in today. And just cry out to him this morning, tonight. And I promise you he'll come. Because he promised us those that seek him and search for him with all their heart would find him. And so just tonight and this morning, just press in, cry out to him, and I promise you he'll come. And he'll touch you and totally change your life and increase you in every way. Amen? Hallelujah. That's all I'm going to be able to say.
So grab a hold of him and have him come. I'll tell you, great blessing that he is and will be. Then this series on merchandising. Who wants this one? Let me see here. I know you wanted it last night, so you'll get it today. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me. I really felt a quickening by the Lord last night at the end to go into this. Ezekiel 28. If you understand the operation of the enemy, then you'll understand the operation of the enemy in the nations of the world, really starting from the fall of man, but understanding that this is what he did before the fall of man. This is what he did that caused him to fall. That he is a deceiver, that he is a liar. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 28, verse 12, Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, you are the full measure and pattern of exactness, giving the finishing touch to all that constitutes completeness. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Why would he be that way? Because God created him. Everything God does is perfect. Everything God does is good. There's nothing that he does that is a failure. He says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle. And gold and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. So it intimates that the devil had pipes and tabrets in him, and that obviously the wind of God would blow through him and he would lead the worship and the music. That's why, you know, we jokingly say this, but when the devil fell, he fell into the choir. That's why the enemy knows how to take music, and he uses music to ride into the hearts of people. Because music is a container of the anointing, and contrary to what some people think, the devil never lost his anointing. His anointing is just totally perverted. Once you have the anointing, you can't really lose the anointing, but to have it perverted. You can dilute it or pervert it. Because he has an anointing and still has that anointing today. The anointing was so powerful on his being as a creation. He was not creator, he's a created being. That he was able to take one-third of the angels and move out. And for any pastor that's ever experienced a church split, people come to me and say, oh, you know, I lost 50 people, 100 people left the church, we had the church split, whatever, said. I said, God had the worst split of anybody I know. And that was one-third of the angels, which are innumerable. One-third of innumerable left. Think about that. One-third of God's angels take off. I don't think people can even conceptualize this. I mean, here you are, creator of heaven and earth. You have all the angels there, everything. You've got the anointed cherub, the covered, and he leaves and takes with him one-third of the angels. So you want to understand the height of deception, which people belittle today. They don't understand the way that the deception comes. That's why the devil comes as an angel of light. If you don't know the word of God, you will not be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. If you do not have the Word of God as the plumb line of your life, you will be led astray. If you do not measure everything by the Word of God and let it filter through the Word of God is the filtering process for anything that would come, then you'll have extra biblical revelation where angels will come and appear to you, just like Joseph Smith, when the angel Moroni appeared to him on the hill Cumorah. And all of the devilish doctrines of the Mormon church, which I know Mormonism is trying to clean themselves up now because of the candidate that we have running for president, but really, people don't even understand. I made a comment that hit the news media. I had calls from Salt Lake City, and they wanted me to come meet with the heads of the Mormon church to explain. I said, I'll come. I'll come anytime you want, but let me tell you, I'm not coming to drink the Kool-Aid of what you think Mormonism is today. I'll tell you how it was birthed. I'll tell you how it was started. I'll tell you about all of the revelations that they had. Did you know that even African Americans were not allowed to become part of the Mormon church because what the Mormons believed that God had two children, and one was Jesus, the other one was the devil, and the African American people come from the devil. That's what they believed. That's what was in their doctrines. And that was prophesied by their prophets. Now, their prophets, they had to change that now to accept African Americans into. So basically, they went against their prophets. So they've changed a lot of their doctrines right now to become acceptable, but they have actually negated Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. So, you know, if we want to talk about it, then let's go back to the foundation of it. The whole practice of polygamy, where you really can't get to Godhead if you don't have a bunch of wives. It's a whole con. It's a whole con, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got people talk about Mormonism is a Christian. It's not. It is not a Christian faith. It never has been a Christian faith. Joseph Smith took a bit of the practices of the Masonic lodges and then mixed with his own sexual perversion, and then the angel of light that he saw, and so that whole thing, that whole deal was birthed, and now the image is all beautiful family and all this kind of, it's rubbish. It's garbage, and I'm calling it for what it is. And, you know, if we're going to have a president in the White House that wears holy underwear, fine. I mean, it's no different than what we've got right now. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, America needs Jesus. And stop compromising what the gospel is. But I'm calling it as it is. I'm vocal in my church. I call it like it is. People don't like it. I tell them, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Amen. We're not here to be politically correct. We're here to be biblically correct. And I have a lot of Mormon friends. And I have had people that were high up in the Mormon church that spoke to me. They left the priesthood because they said they couldn't believe that it was ultimate truth. They told me all the inner workings, the baptism for the dead. And we can go on and on. So moving right now, because I'm not talking about Mormonism today. I just thought I'd bring that up because you have to understand, even in Islam, when Muhammad had the vision, the first vision, when the angel came to him, Muhammad went to his wife and he said, I had this vision, the angel come to me, and he said, I don't feel it was God. Muhammad told his wife, he said, I don't feel that it was God. I felt it was evil. And she said, no, it was God. Go back and listen. And so he did, and that's where the whole of Islam was coming. But Muhammad, in his first meeting with the angel, did not feel it was God. I have an Indian chief who, you know, I've been adopted by two Indian tribes, the Crow tribe from Montana and the Cree from Quebec. And Matthew Kuncom, the grand chief of the Cree nation, is a member of our church. And, of course, he governs the Cree of Quebec. We were just up there in the village of Waskagnish. And he was telling me, you know, as a young boy, because his grandfather lived to be 114, was Pentecostal. His father is still alive at 78 years of age, and the Grand Chief's personal hunting land is about 360,000 acres. That's his personal hunting land for his family. And he said, when I was a young man, he said, my grandfather spoke to me, he said, the spirits will come to you. And you're going to have to make a decision. That's all his grandfather said. He said he was newly married and he was driving his car and he bashed into a shaman. A man who was really one of the witch doctors, a shaman in the town. And the witch doctor got out and he was looking at him and said, "I'm going to get you, you young people. You have no respect for us elderly," and went on at him. So he didn't think anything of it. He was wearing a cross at the time that his father had given him. Now, he wasn't actually saved at the time. If you hear the story of the Cree and the atrocities that were committed to the tribal people of Canada, it's horrendous. They were not even considered to be human beings by the Canadian government. In actual fact, the South African government went to Canada to try to learn what to do to the Africans in South Africa. They learned from the Canadian government. Matthew is the first man in the world to get a seat on the United Nations for Indigenous Peoples Groups. He's an attorney. He renegotiated the whole thing for his tribe. Not the Western Cree, but the Eastern Cree. Very wealthy tribe. Got a $5 billion fund. Built roads, schools, hospitals, fire department, police department. When you go there, your mouth, you can't believe it. They've got high-speed internet. And he's built us all. He said, "No more $5 a year in a flag." He said, "We renegotiate everything." And he was telling me that he went to bed that night after he was cursed by the shaman, and he said, suddenly he was outside of his body. And in the spirit, he was brought before the tribal leaders. He comes in the spirit, and there's all the leaders of the village. Sitting around in the spirit. Now, they're in the spirit, okay. And the shaman is standing there and said, "This young man has no respect for us. Can I teach him a lesson?" And they all nodded. He said, "Suddenly I was at the side of a river. It was covered by ice, frozen over in the winter time, and there was a hole in the middle." And the shaman said, "Swim." He said, "I knew if I swam, I would die." And this is what he told me. He said, "At that moment, I decided that I would be a beaver. And I dove in and I swam and came out the other side. And when I came out the other side, I sat up in my bed and I was soaking wet. There was water all over me." And he said, "The cross was off of my neck and was rolled up on my bed. It had been taken off." And he said, "But I had made the decision not to go with the spirits. I fought," even in his unsaved state, he said, "I fought to not go with the spirits." Pretty amazing stuff. And so every human being has a choice. That's why God will judge them according to their conscience. Because you will be tempted. Just like Jesus was when he was taken to the high mountain and showed all the kingdoms of the world. If the devil was lying, then it wouldn't be a temptation, would it? So he took him there, and the devil said, "I'll give you all of this if you worship me." Of course, we know how Jesus overcame it. It is written, it is written, it is written. And the fact that the devil quoted scripture, utilized the word. He knows the word. The Bible even tells us that there are doctrines of devils. So if there are doctrines of devils, there must be Bible schools of devils where the doctrines of devils can be taught. Amen. Boy, it's getting really quiet here today. Maybe I need to get, could we get a few more of the foreign language headset for translations so that all of the Latvians can understand what I'm talking about today? That was a joke. He says, "You were... and you are the anointed cherub that covered, and I've set thee so. You were upon the holy mount of God. You have walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Now, this is what people don't understand, what iniquity is. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin before it's been birthed. Iniquity is in the hearts of people and even though they haven't done it, the seed of it is there. Because it comes down to motive and intent. Everything comes down to motive and intent. How many have asked the Lord to work in you and burn with his fire on the inside of you, and God's been doing that? And just when you get through one thing and you think, boy, I'm doing great, suddenly this other thing, oh my God, where does that come from? How many know what I'm talking about? Because the fire has a purifying process to it. When I was a little boy, we would go fishing, but my dad loved to make his own sinkers, and we would go down to the scrapyard and get all the weights off of the tires. We'd come home, he had this pot and the bellows and the fire going, and we'd melt the lead, and we would get it till it's molten lead, and we pour it in the mold, and then we would make these beautiful, brand new sinkers, and we'd go fishing. We'd always prepare for our fishing trip by making our own. It was just the fun thing for us to do. But as this pot of molten lead was boiling, my dad would have the ladle that would be scooping off. He kept scooping off. And, you know, when you're a little boy, Dad, what are you doing? You know, always asking questions. He said, well, as it heats up, all the impurities come to the surface. That's why you watch people around revival, the fire of God falls on them, and they go out and all hell breaks loose. So somebody said, I don't understand. I went to revival, fire of God touched me, and then all hell broke loose because the impurities start coming to the surface. You could go to a nominal, lukewarm, cold church and it'll never come to the surface. Never, never. Impurities will never even be shown. In actual fact, they'll talk you through your impurities. They'll talk you through all of these things and you'll have a mental ascent. You'll have a mental gospel that you plan and strategize and you purpose, and it's all with your head. Nothing that comes from the heart. And so you produce Christians that have a Christian mindset, but they're not Christian in the heart. That's why they give up so easily. Because people think that you can talk your way through a spiritual problem. You can't. You have to have the supernatural power of God and the supernatural power of the Word to bring you through the supernatural problem. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just focus a little bit on iniquity. Iniquity is in people to where there might be something that they would love to do, but they don't do because they're afraid they get caught. And they're afraid somebody find out about it. And so because of that, they wouldn't do it. So that's the only thing that's restraining them from doing what they would really like to do. There's this thing in them that they would really like to do, but it's kind of hidden. They suppress it. They push it down. I'm talking about believers now. I'm talking about people in the ministry now. I'm talking about people born again, spirit-filled. They have never dealt with iniquity. They have never dealt with the motive and intent. And because it's private in their own heart or imaginations, that no one else could see that, they feel safe and secure in the privacy of their own imagination. Because no one knows except them. So motive and intent, because a lot of times you can judge people by their actions, but you judge yourself by your intentions. I intended to do that. Therefore, you think you're better than the other person, but you're judging them by their actions, but you judge yourself by your intentions. Now, this is why we see the conflict going on any man or woman of God that God raises up with the supernatural power of God and takes them around the world, because one thing you have to understand about the devil is that he is a fallen minister. That's what people don't say, well, he's just the devil. No, he's a fallen minister. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He's a fallen minister. What part of fallen minister do you not understand? That's why he hates you, because you took his place. You took his place. He hates it when you worship. He hates it when you pray in that heavenly language, which he can't understand. He hates that. You took his place. He does not like you. Get that in your head. The devil doesn't like you. He hates the very ground that you walk on. He knows what buttons to push. He's been doing it for thousands of years. Only the Word of God will sustain you. Only the Spirit of God will keep you. But you better make straight paths for your feet. Don't take grace and go so far out on the leash to the far extents of grace, as many are doing in this hour. Because even the book of Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. So there's a balance to this whole thing.
Yes, there is.
And the fear of God must come again in the church. The fear of God must come again in the pulpits of the land. The fear of God, more than the fear of man, must consume our lives. And so, you know, the enemy comes for a price. For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. $21.60. That was the price. Probably because that's what he stole out of the offering bag. And he was just trying to replace what he had stolen. But what's your price? What's the price for your soul? What will you sell out for? Somebody said, I'll never do it. Oh. What's the price? You won't know until you're tempted with that price. What's the price? $1 million? $5 million? $10 million? What about $100 million? What about $1 billion? What about $500 billion? What's the price? So as long as you have iniquity, even though it hasn't manifested as sin, it's there. You have to judge. That's why you've got to take authority over your thoughts. And you have to deal with them. You cannot let them run idly amok on the inside of you. You have to deal with it. You have to cast out, or you can take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. And you have to bring your body under subjection. And you have to renew your mind to the Word of God. And you have got to make sure that spiritually you keep yourself clean. Don't dirty yourself spiritually. Don't go hang around spiritually impure people. Especially people that flow in the Holy Ghost, but they're impure. Don't muddy the water. Don't pollute the water of revival. Don't pollute the anointing. Do not do it, not for fame, not for fortune, not for anything. Do not sell out. Keep yourself pure. Keep your garments pure. Keep your hearts pure. And do not tolerate a mixture. Don't tolerate it. Not for unity. Not for unity. Do not tolerate a mixture. People accuse me, say, well, you think you're the only way. I said, I never did, ever. This is the only way. So if you can take what you're doing and filter through here and come out fine, then I'm happy with you. Because I have to take myself and filter myself through this too. And come at me with any extra biblical revelation and some angel that appeared to you in the night hours and God give you this revelation, all that, because I'm going to flush it. I'm going to take that and flush it. It's going to be subject to this word here. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Period. There's not even a discussion about it. No compromise. Some say, well, be nice. No. We don't tolerate that in the church. Not in the body of Christ, no. As spiritual leaders, you have to speak out against certain things, even if it makes you unpopular. But Jesus did. Just read the Gospels and you'll see that he did. The Apostle Paul did. Just read his writings, he did. He even mentioned names. Speaking of that, I'm going to mention names this morning. Well, I felt the air suck out of the room right there. So he says here, now this is so powerful because February of last year, I went to bed, and I mentioned this briefly last night, and I started wrestling with two words the whole night. But it wasn't like when I woke up, I was tired, or I woke up totally refreshed, and I realized the Lord was dealing with me, and the two words were merchandise and traffic, and they were going through me the whole night. I got up, went through into my office, opened my Bible, Ezekiel 28 is what I read. But read this here, verse 16. By the multitude of your merchandise. What is merchandise? Huh? It's something you sell. By the multitude of your merchandise, you have filled the midst of you with violence. What's the Bible say? The love of money is the? He says, yeah, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mount of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. He was the original American Idol. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Merchandise and traffic. The Lord said to me, he said the devil was thrown out of heaven because he was merchandising and trafficking the anointing. And you do that anytime you take the anointing to try to better yourself. Remember the story of Naaman the leper. When the prophet's servant went and actually ended up with leprosy. See, he was trying to use the anointing, the miracle that had just transpired, to get wealth that Naaman had brought. But he also got the leprosy. So he says here, by the iniquity of your traffic, therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth, and sight of all that behold thee, and all that knew thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, that thou it shall be a terror, and never shall there be any more. So God prophesied what was going to happen to him, and of course that day is coming. His lease on the planet is running out, the final moments now of the lease that he has. Can you say amen? Aren't you happy about that? So then the Lord said this to me. He said that the enemy was living vicariously through many in the modern-day Pentecostal charismatic movement. Because of the manipulation of the anointing. Don't ever say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord never said. Don't ever get up and prophesy something because you feel you pressurized, you need to prophesy, and you know you were billed as a prophet, and they expected the prophet. And so if you didn't prophesy, then they wouldn't want you back, and you need to come back so you can get your offering. Don't ever do anything based on the money motive. To where you go because the remuneration is such and such. Don't go to preach because you need money.
That's true. Amen. That's a good word.
Yeah. You know, we set this out in our ministry right from the beginning. You know, people said, what's it going to cost me to have you come? I said, really nothing. I said, we pay our own way and we receive a love offering in every service. We've always done that. And the Lord actually said to me, the places that won't allow you to do that, don't go, because he said the same control of the money is the control of the anointing. And we've kept that. There was one or two places I went because the people really begged me, like the woman, the unjust judge. I mean, they bombarded me, come. And in retrospect, looking back, I wish I'd never gone there. Because they wanted the revival for the people, but not for themselves. You can't have the purity of the things of God for the people and not for yourself. It starts with you. Now, when you understand this and understand that this is not just only in the church, if the enemy can lock down the church, and get the church operating out of envy and strife and competition and out of the promise of a lucrative opportunity. Where if you look in America right now, the whole music industry has been polluted, taken over by really ungodly people in the Christian world. And all of our music is crossover now. It's just, remember the songs, the great songs, even that were coming in the late 80s, early 80s and whatever. You don't see very few songs like that anymore. And people are writing music, writing songs, hoping that the song will be a hit so then they can get their royalties and all that. And I'm not against royalties. I'll just tell you, on all of my products, I've never taken $1. Because again, when I started out, I said I don't want any royalties from any of this stuff. Not that I'm not entitled to, I am. But I just want to be able to put teaching out there, put stuff out there, and not even worry about it, because I get it from heaven anyway, so if anything, I'll pay him the royalty. So I don't get anything. You could sell a million of my tapes, I get nothing. It doesn't matter. So we set certain things in the foundation of the ministry, because in my spirit, I felt that I did not want to cross any lines. Yes, we teach on sowing and reaping, teach on giving, and even then we came under fire. But let me tell you, whole nations have been broken free in the area of giving. Australia is one of them. 95, when I traveled through the nation, we taught them that now you go see what's broken loose since 1995 across Australia. Amazing thing in the financial realm for the body of Christ. And then in other nations too. We took the heat for that, but we took the heat for the joy as well. So you just take the heat, but doesn't change the truth. And so when we are called of God and we are anointed of God, we have to protect the anointing. If you will protect the anointing will protect you. And there are many that once flowed in the anointing, but now it's become so polluted or diluted or convoluted that they don't even trust the voice of God. They can't even hear. I meet a lot of ministers that can't really hear God anymore. They really don't know what God's saying. They have no clue. They always get around, what's the Lord saying? What's God saying? What's the Lord saying? They're always trying to find the word of the Lord. I'm not trying to find the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord. I'm not at loss to the word of the Lord. I know what he said. And I keep going by what he said. And I keep standing on what he said. Even if it's going to be 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, 25 years or 30 years or 40 years, just keep standing on his word. I'm not looking for a new word. Some people need a new word. No, I'm working on the word he already gave me. Not looking for a new word. It's like almost like when we cross into the new year, everybody's, so what's God saying for 2012? Same thing he was saying for 2011. Why is suddenly God going, oh yeah, sorry, it's the 1st of January now. I better give a word for, you know. Like suddenly we got this new word that no one's ever heard. It's a word that's heard. That no one's heard. But they're not even doing the word that they already heard. But they want a word they never heard. Give me a word I never heard. God doesn't change his mind. Go back to the laws that he told you to do and see if you're doing them. And if you're not, make the adjustment, go right back and start doing what he told you to do and stay with it until he tells you something else.
It's a good word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you feel like you're not getting where you should be going and whatever, then go back to what last thing he said to you to do. And then make sure you're doing it. You get yourself back in that place of obedience. And then just stay with it. I mean through hell or high water. Stay with it. Don't back down one little bit. Just stick with it. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with that. I'm relentless in my pursuit. I'm going to stick with the word of the Lord. So now, the whole music industry being hijacked. Well, not just that, the publishing industry as well, with books and Bibles, especially all the Bible companies being bought by heathen corporations. We need to buy back the Bible companies in America, redeem the word of the Lord from these heathen. If the Lord graces me, I'm going to do that. If the Lord empowers me to do that, I'm going to do that. The whole thing of Christian publishing, to find a subject that would be titillating to the ear of the person and get the book published and get it in the bestseller and all of this stuff that goes on in merchandising and traffic. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, go to the Christian Booksellers Convention. By the time you 3-4 rows into, you'll probably be puking, looking for a bag to puke. Because there's more Jesus junk floating the planet than you can ever imagine. And maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I mean Christian television. You know, I didn't know this, of course I found this out, but the government requires the Christian television networks to have telethons. I thought that was just a thing they came up with, but it's not. It actually started with the government, because the government said you cannot derive your income from just the sale of programs. You have to have donations. So that's what they do. They go and have these weekly telethon, charathon, missions week, whatever they want to call it. Except some of them now run extended ones of these, you know. And the problem is, here's the problem, and this is where it all went wrong in the 80s, and that people would raise $100 million, and then they would use it to expand their kingdom, their stations, whatever. But the preachers were still paying up to the eyeballs to get on this on the network. So instead of raising the money and putting the preachers on for free, they put the preacher on, cost them $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a half an hour. How do you pay for that? How do you pay for your program to go on? So now each preacher now has to carve out a niche. Because if you just preach the gospel, people would say, well, that's boring. We've heard that before. So then this one becomes proficient in a certain area. Now they specialists in the area of prayer, or specialists in the area of this, and their whole partnership and their partner base and the whole thing is structured towards that. And then people gravitate towards that teacher. And then they get partners and the monthly support, which is fine. I've got nothing against you supporting ministries monthly. I believe you should do that. But a lot of the support really is based on the fact that for your $100 gift this month, we're going to send you this. And it has a little scripture on it. It's from the Holy Land. It's actually stone from the Holy Land that you could put your hand on every day and then just feel God.
Say on. Come on, preach it.
And you got Christians' homes that are full of religious trash. Stuff made in Hong Kong. With the scripture on it. Your holy anointed shofar that you could blow at certain times of the day. That will open up portals in heaven like a spiritual stargate where angels come and go. And weird, wacko stuff, you know, charismania, you know, welcome to the world of the Twilight Zone. The shower cap with a hand of blessing on it. The piece of the old rugged cross, actual piece, we found it. Oil from the Holy Land. Water from the Jordan. Special anointed water that you sprinkle on your wallet and suddenly Federal Reserve notes appear. Your prosperity green prayer handkerchief. My God. All for one purpose. To suck money out of people. For the purpose of ministry. But when you wonder if it really is ministry. It's not really ministry. There's one ministry in America that you can call in. And when you call in, depending on what you pay, depends on what word you get. For $10, you get just a junior prophet, and all he's allowed to give you is a word. Just one, a word. Blue. Hey, that's all $10 is going to bring you. Blue. For $100, you get the junior prophet online, and this will get a few sentences. And but for $1,000, the master prophet will give you the word of the Lord. So when Jesus said in that day, they'll come to me and say, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils. And what do you say? He said, I will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Iniquity, the same iniquity that was in Lucifer is now in those parading themselves. To be messengers of God, but they're not. A man of God that I respect very much, that operates prophetically as a prophet. When a whole bunch of the Shim Sham was going on a few years ago, he said, when did you do 3-day fasting and pray about it? And said, he said, the Lord, what is that? And he's from England, so his accent, he said, he called me on the phone, he said, Rodney. He's 70 years old now. He said, I was in prayer and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said this to me, son. The Lord said to me, I'm not known by those who say they know me. I am not known by those who say they know me. So that's all the Lord would give him. So many profess. But the anointing is very distinct. You don't have to hype anything up. I mean, I've watched this over the years with the gifts of the Spirit. And I love the gifts of the Spirit. We operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But I've watched people, you know, almost like a fortune teller. Like, so we have never spoke before, have we? So you and I don't know each other, do we? I mean, it's like a magician's trick, pulling a rabbit out. Who cares if he doesn't know him? Who cares if you do know him? If I have a word of the Lord, even if I know you, I'm going to give you the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord stands true. Yes. Whether I know you or don't know you. Yes. And I don't have to give you a telephone number so that I impress you that I got your number to make you think I'm connected to God because suddenly I got your number. Yes, you live on Smith Street, number 118. You have a red post box. You were walking towards the post, carry on with it. I mean, either the word of the Lord is plain or it's not plain. But people love it. They love that stuff. They love the trinkets. They love the gaudy trinkets. All's not gold that glitters. It doesn't matter if I know you or don't know you. If I have the word of the Lord come to me, I'm going to give it. Somebody says, yeah, but you knew them. It doesn't matter. I know him. He told me to tell you this. You either receive it or you don't. I don't have to tell you what kind of underwear you're wearing. Fruit of the loom. Yep. Yep. That's it. Fruit of the loom. Now, I believe this is very important, especially what I was started to talk about, and I'm going to carry on today with tonight on doing business with God, because you can't do business with God and try to play around trickery, because God's truth. So you come around him, you come with total truth. It is what it is. It laid bare. There's no shim-sham, there's no manipulation. You can't manipulate around God. You can play around God's people that way, but you can't play around God that way. Really, the day is coming when every man will stand before God and give an account of what he's done. And I promise you, there will not be, even while God is speaking, there won't even be, there's nothing to say. When God speaks, there's nothing to say. No man is even at the point to even justify his actions at that point. You just stand before the God of heaven and earth. And everything is laid bare. And it's pointless even trying to tell what your motive is, because I hear people say this all the time. Well, the Lord knows my heart. God knows my heart. Brother Rodney, praise God, he knows my heart. Yeah, he does. But you don't even know your heart. That's the problem. God knows your heart, but you don't know your heart. You don't even know what's in your heart. That's why people get into certain places of power, and the moment they are empowered, a lot of stuff comes out. It wasn't just coming out then. It was there all the time. It was just that positioned them now to function in a realm that they wish they could have a long time ago, but they couldn't afford to, or whatever. Money will not solve any problem. It'll just amplify what is ever there on the inside of you. That's why you see people blow themselves out the water. Sports stars, politicians, preachers, because it's almost like they have their little moment of temptation where the devil takes them to a high mountain and shows them the kingdoms of the earth. And at that moment, they are lured in. So if I'm going to do business with God, I've got to be totally honest with the Lord. The Lord knows me by name. He knew me before I was born. And I just come to him straight as is and say, you know me. You knew me. That's why the psalmist says, search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, I understand all the thing about the new creation, and we are new born-again believers. If any man be Christ, become a new creature, old thing possible, maybe old, all thing become new. I know all that. But that's not taken away from this body of the flesh, or the unrenewed mind, which people seem to almost negate. That's the war that's going on within, on the inside, the internal war between the mind and the flesh and the spirit. So where people want to do, but they can't do, because this thing has a hold of them. That's why we have to close the door on the enemy. And that's why we need people that are friends that could look at us and say, listen, you're smoking weed, bro. You're smoking some bad religious weed, okay? That's off-the-wall stuff. You've got to have people that can talk straight to you, men that are proven that you will allow to, you can talk to them and they talk to you, and you're not offended by anything there because you say, look, if there's anything in me that you see, I want you to talk to me. Somebody says, yeah, but then they'll come to me every day. Please. Then you're not around somebody spiritual. I've done that with my pastors that I have around me. I mean, they've been with me. Pastor Eric's been with me 15 years. God speaks to him in dreams. I told him, I said, if God shows you something about me and you don't tell me, you will stand before him accountable. I put the fear of God in him. But I tell them, I said, when you come, you better be the word of the Lord because I know the word of the Lord. But if you come with the word of the Lord, then I want to hear the word of the Lord. But I don't just allow parking lot prophecies from some Yahoo who I don't even know who shows up with the word. Well, I have a word. Well, I do too. Sit down, be quiet. Because the Bible says, know those that labor among you. Well, I feel to put my hands. Sorry, I don't know where your hands have been, sir. Sorry. Well, I have a word for you. I have a word for you too. Thank you. But you got to surround yourself with people. That will bring the word of the Lord if needed. Somebody said, yeah, but if they're on staff, they won't. Well, then why would you hire a hireling then? Because then you hired somebody that's more afraid of their salary than afraid of God. So if you put the fear of God in them, then the fear of God will govern them more than their salary will govern them. Yes, that's good. True. Amen. Is this helping anybody here today? So don't get into this whole thing of promotion. I've got this ministry. I've got this anointing. I need to promote it. I've got to get it out. People need to hear about me. They need to know about me. The Bible says your gift is going to make way for you. All you do is just minister, whether it's to one or two or 10,000. Just minister. Be the same. Front, back, sideways. In front of the people, behind the people, be the same. Just be the same. In the back room, in the front room, on the pulpit. Just be the same. If it's one person that you're ministering to, give everything you have. Don't hold anything back. Don't give any partial blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. Give of the life that he's placed on the inside of you, knowing that everything we have does not come from us, but it comes from him, as Jesus even himself. It's not I that do the work, but my Father within me, he doeth the work. So we can boldly say, it's not I that do the work, but my Father within me, he doeth the work. And if you come under criticism, don't let that affect you. Because how many know if you come under praise, you shouldn't let that affect you either? So how can you not let praise affect you, but you let criticism affect you? If you let criticism affect you, then obviously you're taking the glory because you think you really did it.
Right.
Because otherwise you wouldn't get so angry because they came up against you and said, you did this. Now, what do you mean? So you inadvertently taking the glory by accepting the criticism when you wouldn't take the praise. So just give him all the praise and give him the criticism as well. They're all glory to your name and all the criticism go to your name. If they have a problem, then tell them to go talk to Jesus. After all, he made you the way that you are. Somebody said, well, I have a problem with you. Well, that's your problem. You don't like the way that I function and operate, then go talk to Jesus about it. Go get in Jesus' face and say, that Rodney Brown, I got a problem with him. And then be waiting, listening carefully to what he tells you. Because I know what he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you, I know Rodney. I love Rodney. We're friends. Somebody said, you can't say, oh, I know that. I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to say. Somebody said, how can you say that he's going to say that? Because he told me that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Somebody said, when did he tell you that? When I was doing business with him. So then your boldness comes out of your relationship with him, not out of your acceptance by this group or that group or how much they're going to fund you or this is what they're going to do or whatever. If people knew the way that our ministry functioned, they wouldn't even believe it. People would roll in the ground. Even the critics would roll in the ground and laugh their heads off for hours if they saw what we operate on, what the bank balance is at any time of the day or night. They would think I was a lunatic. But in the natural, we don't know any different. Donick and I came to the country 24 years ago, $300. And every day we just believe God. And trust him. I mean, that was one of the reasons about 3 years ago I shut down my monthly newsletter. I just got tired. We have 300,000 people on mailing list. We had a monthly newsletter that would go out to at least 80,000 people. And I just felt that the Lord wanted to do something different. So we shut it down. And we lost a huge amount every month. But I told my office, I said, pull everything in the bounds of what we can function in without that. And we did. And it took about a year and everything went back up again without that monthly newsletter, without anything. Now, we do send out emails. If you're on email, you get an email from us. We try to send weekly emails. People get emails all the time, so we'd send out an email, keep them updated what's happening in the ministry and that. But if you look, and I've studied different methods of ministry, different models of ministry, and it would almost seem like just when you get to the place that now the ministry's at a place where you could really do something, you're actually too old to do it. You're just at the place of credibility now. You're just at the place where all the finances are coming in. But you're really at the place where you don't have a body anymore. And then you have to leave that behind to the next generation that most of them don't even know what to do with it. That's why I even told my kids, I said, look, I'm not leaving you a ministry. Why would I even wish that upon you? I love you too much to leave you some ministry. Somebody said, but your legacy, that's a bunch of crock legacy. We have more dead preachers on television today than we've ever had. Most of the dead are still preaching. You would think that there would be some living to replace the dead. But the dead preach. They've been dead for years, still preaching. People keep the legacy going. For what? You run your race. You hand the baton on. You go on. You're done when you're done. You're finished. Somebody says, I need to leave a legacy. For what? For who? This is the house that Jack built. Great. What did Jack have that Jack had of himself? Anything Jack had, he had from heaven. But a new generation must come now, must catch the fire, and the legacy that you have will be in those that have been raised up, whether they mention your name or not. As long as they mention his name. Heaven keeps the record. Heaven keeps the record. Somebody said, I want my ministry to continue. It's not your ministry anyway. It's his ministry. You're just a part of his ministry. So there's no pressure. The only thing you have to do is obey God. Do what heaven tells you to do. I've been pastoring now the River Church. You saw a little bit of it there. That was Sunday night, the ministers' conference. Actually, we have one coming up now, starting the 13th through the 20th. 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, 13th, 20th of May, ministers' conference in Tampa. If y'all want to jump over the pond, you're welcome to come. But I've been pastoring 15 years. I told my guys, I said, listen, the day God doesn't want me anymore, I'm gone. I'm not here to maintain anything or maintain any standard or maintain. I'm here only because of the word of the Lord. One reason alone, the word of the Lord. I'm not here for a job. I'm happy anywhere I am, as long as I have my little wife with me. Glory to God. Then I'm happy. But it's not in buildings or numbers. People come, people go. On our books, we have 2,500 members in the church. I got people coming around, you need to build a big building here. I said, yeah, and you're going to pay for it, aren't you? I said, no, we're very happy with our building, thank you. Well, you need a bigger building. I said, that's God's problem, it's not my problem. This is the building he gave me. If he wanted me to have a bigger building, he would have given it to me in the first place. Well, I just see you with a bigger building. Well, I see whatever God sees in the time of God. Amen. So there's no pressure. The only thing we have to do is obey God. Every day, just get up and obey God. So we say, what are you doing? I'm obeying God. And we preach the word, and we instant in season, out of season. I love the in season. That's great. But there's a lot of out of season, too, in ministry. But you just carry on. You stay firm. You just keep going. You just keep preaching the word. Just keep saying what God says. Just keep speaking what God says. Just keep doing what God says. Don't back off one little bit. Don't compromise. Don't go change everything because you think you're not getting anywhere or whatever they think where they think you should be. Somebody said, you're going to make it. You're going to, what does making it mean? What is making it? How would you know you made it? No, seriously. Come on, let's talk about this for a moment. So you're going to make it. Somebody said, you're going to make it. You're going to have a breakthrough. What would be a breakthrough for you? What would be making it for you? What would make you happy? Because I met the leaders around the world that have had everything and they're miserable. They got churches like this packed 7 times on a weekend and they're miserable. Can't even stay married to a wife. Want some other woman. So what's going to make you happy? How will you know you made it? Because you've got a nice car, you have a nice house, you've got great investments, you've got money set aside for retirement. How do you know you made it? And then who is the approval that you're trying to get from somebody out there who would say you made it? And you go, I made it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you've made it. You're here. You've made it now. So people are always reaching for this pie in the sky, this thing out there, trying to get around somebody, tell me how to do it. How do I restructure my ministry? How do I? Because you see somebody that you think is successful, and then you want to pattern your ministry after that. Meanwhile, God's got something unique for you that you'll only find out when you do business with him. And he gives you a blueprint, something unique that maybe has never been done before. I'm not talking about outside of the Word of God, but I'm talking about something that a generation is going to see. That you're not an echo, that you're a voice. and you can speak as an oracle of God.
Thank you.
Don't let people put you in a pigeonhole. Don't let them put you in a box. They've tried, you that laughing preacher. Whatever. Are you that joy guy? Well, that's one of the things we do, joy. Yeah. We do that. Joy happens. Everywhere we go, joy happens. But that's not all we do. Oh, you that laughing preacher. Oh, brother. Now, in the church, we can see the manipulation of the enemy. Judas over the money. Even amongst the disciples, arguing who's going to sit at his right hand. Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, let's make three tabernacles here. First, three denominations were almost birthed right there. Three tabernacles, you know. The start of three denominations. But if you take this of what I'm sharing and understand that when he fell and he was cast onto the earth, when Adam sinned and handed over the whole planet in his hands, then you understand the manipulation of whole nations at this time.
Right.
And you begin to see the trace of the wicked one through everything. The running of the same thing that happens in the church is happening in the world. The control of oil, the control of diamonds, gold, any of the natural treasures that are held by the few that trickle to the many. You begin to see the lies and the deceits of those that are in government and in high office that have really sold out their nations. America's not the only one in crisis. Many nations are at this time. Some are even further gone than we are here in the United States because they didn't even have a constitution to begin with. We've got our Supreme Court that have been on record saying that if we were going to do another constitution, we would not use the American Constitution, that it is archaic, that it's out of date. That was Bader Ginsburg. That we should use the former Soviet Union's constitution. Or the South African constitution, which we in South Africa can't even find a copy of it. So it is there, but we don't even know what it is. So the Lord said to me, we are moving into the time now of divine government and divine judgment where the body of Christ, I really believe, is going to stand up in authority and operating in the fear and the wisdom of God, will walk into whole nations and deal with nations and situations in the nations that has not been able to happen because the church has been a laughingstock by the world. In actual fact, Washington thinks that the church in America is a joke. They placate us because of their constituents they want to reach, but they think we are a joke. Behind closed doors, they mock. Even the Bush administration were the same way, because I know people in the higher-ups in the Bush administration said they were all nice when the leaders came out, but the moment they went out the door, they were mocking them. I'm sorry to tell you. The whole separation of church and state, which is a crock, because there was no such thing as separation of church and state. It was to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the church out of the government. The church should be involved in the government where we draw the line and say, absolutely not, you're not doing that anymore. We're going to shut you down. Somebody said, yeah, but you're getting political. No, I'm just being a citizen of the United States based on the Constitution. Because we're fighting for a land that without God's intervention right now is pretty much over. It's gone. It's finished. If America was an airplane, basically right now, we are in a brace mode and the oxygen panel has fallen from the ceiling. That's where we are right now. Short of a divine intervention, this thing's going down. It's going down fast. But the problem is the modern day preacher is doing nothing about it. They're too afraid to even speak out in case. It's like they got no balls. I mean, sorry, I don't even know, but you're from Texas. You understand what I'm talking about. I mean, my God, what's wrong with the people? I'm sorry for being Texan with you, but I mean, Lord have mercy. What are they afraid of? Somebody said, he said balls. Yeah, I did. You see, some people, they're more angry because I said balls in the service than about what's happening in America. If we don't stand up and draw a line in the sand, because you are God's hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. You are. God's waiting on you. We can't let the devil have this land. We can't let the enemy take this land. There's a big rally on our property the beginning of the year. And candidate Gingrich showed up. You know, I'd never met him before. I didn't vote for him. I'm not voting for him. You know, I just met him. They asked me to open in prayer. About 1,000 people there at the church grounds, and CNN was there, Fox, and all the news, ABC, NBC, and Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Washington Post, all there. So I met him, you know. He said, would you support me? I said, I don't know. I don't know who I'm supporting right now. I'm going to watch and see how things roll. Coming out of the meeting with him, I had more of a passion for America than he had. That concerned me because I'm not even running for president. All I saw was a career politician looking for 4 years in the White House. But then I don't like any of the candidates, so, you know, sorry about that. You know, it looks like they picked Romney, but he's got a $1 billion hedge fund in the Caymans. He's part of the financial problem in America anyway. So, I mean, just Santorum didn't have the gravitas to pull it off. And Gingrich is a career politician. And Ron Paul's a nice guy, but it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And, you know, everybody smoked marijuana, you know, let's legalize pot. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the bottom line is we really have nobody other than what you've got in office. But you've seen what they've done. So 4 more years of putting the final nails in the coffin of America.
God save us.
Because everything's being rewritten. Every constitutional right is being removed as we speak. The last vestiges of America is being removed, taken away.
It is. Change.
You can't even fly anywhere. You get molested by TSA just going through. And of course, I don't go through the scanners. I never have because I'm not going to subject myself to radiation. So I don't just go through and stand like this. So if you don't do that, then you have to get patted down. And so when I come through, the guy's got to tell me what he's going to do to me. I know what you're going to do to me. Sir, just go ahead and do it. I do this every week. Go ahead. Well, I'm going to take my hand. I'm going to run it up your thigh on the inside until I get resistance. So I look at him and say, shouldn't we have a meal first before we do this? And so he runs his hand up and I say, yeah, that's me right there. That you got it. I said, if you'd like me to turn my head sideways and cough, I can do that too. This is all for safety. From what? Terrorism. Well, who are they? Where are these terrorists? I thought we defeated them in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Where are the terrorists now? Oh, they're all over. They're here now. Wow. How did they get you? You can't even fly. It's America. We can't even fly. Because of some terrorist. But all we get subject to is terrorism all the time. Don't you understand? Your rights and privileges are taken away from you. But the people go like sheep to slaughter, just stand there to be scanned. They don't care. Just scan me. Subject me to radiation. Scan me. I'm sorry, I'm an American. I'm a new American, but I'm an American. Thomas Jefferson said this in 1802. If the American people will ever allow the central banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the private banks and the corporations that will grow up around the private banks will deprive the American people of everything they possess until they wake up homeless on a continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson, 1802. Andrew Jackson, the president at that time, fought the central banking system. His vice president shot the secretary of the treasury in a duel. I wish we could do that today. And he defeated the central banks of the day. That's why all the American money is pictures of the presidents that were against the central banks. It's a mockery by the Fed to mock the dead presidents. That's why your money's called dead presidents. I'll ask you a question. Why is the dollar the currency of the world? Why was Switzerland neutral during the war? There's a reason. It's merchandise and trafficking at the highest level by ungodly men motivated by demon spirits to plunder whole nations and subject millions of people to tyranny. This is what we fought. This is what our ancestors fought to free up a nation. The 13 colonies become one nation under God. They threw off the tyranny of the king. You know, I can't even talk this way anymore because people say then he's political now, you know. One lady came to our church and said, I really thought I would come to a church where there was no politics. And I came there and you were talking politics. I'm talking America. I'm talking Constitution. I'm not talking politics. I mean, what's our alternative? We've got Republican, Democrat. Basically, we've got a two-party dictatorship. I'm sorry for offending. If you're Democrat or you're Republican, we've got a two-party dictatorship. And it's a shell game with no P. The P was taken out a long time ago, and it's to appease the American people. Oh, we voted for our man, and 4 years of our man, then 4 years of their man, then 4 years of our man, and it goes that way for the last 100 years, and we're still in a mess. When's somebody going to wake up?
Amen. Yes.
And realize that both systems have been bought at the highest level. And the career politicians that have sold America up the creek. Somebody said, well, that's not our problem as the church. Let's just have a nice church. You might not have a church. if we don't have a great awakening. If you don't get with the program and find out what you can do in your county, your town, your neighborhood, if you're just going to let the devil come in, you will have a church gathering of people, but you might not have a church left when it's all said and done. So all the wars are funded. They make money off the wars. They fund both sides of the wars. To have a war, you have to have an enemy. So you fund the enemy. You set him up. You fight him 20 years from now. I've studied it. I've seen what the story is. I've seen the manipulation across the continent of Africa. I didn't like Gaddafi at all, but Gaddafi was shot like a dog in the streets because he was going around unifying the African countries to produce gold and print money that they could pay off the World Bank, the IMF, and kick the United Nations out, and they didn't want it, so they killed him like a dog in the streets. Fact. Fact. Our nation has become a war machine. There are three capitals in the world. The religious capital is Rome. Rome's not a part of Italy, it's an incorporate. London's the financial capital of the world, it's not part of England, it's an incorporate. And Washington, D.C. is not part of America, it's an incorporate. It's the defense capital of the world. The financial capital, London, the defense capital of the world is D.C. And we become an industrial military complex, that's what we are. Where our people are going to be used as cannon fodder around the world for the banking cartels to do whatever they want to do under the guise of freedom and liberty to go in and free them up. But we're not freeing anything up. Somebody said, I don't believe this. That's fine. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid. La, 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 la. Go to Starbucks. Have your drink. Go watch a movie. And when you look again, you'll have nothing. You'll have nothing. Because it all comes down to this whole thing. The devil's in the detail. The devil's manipulating all of this stuff. He's manipulating in the church. He's manipulating in the nations. And most Christians say, well, I can't do anything about it. Brother Rodney, why are you telling me these things? What can I do about it? Well, you can pray. Amen. Number one, you can pray. Number two, you can live your life to always fight tyranny and fight injustice and stand for what is true and what is right and still hold on to, if you're an American, hold on to a constitution that we still have, even though it's only in document form at this time. Where for the first time in American history, they read the Constitution. Can you imagine publicly how in the world that the first time last year the Congress read the American Constitution? Can you believe that? I want to read this to you because I believe I have it here. I wrote this. I get on a plane flying somewhere and I start writing. This is what came out. And I prayed this. I gave this at a big gathering of 650 of the top political leaders in the state of Florida. Now, I have a man in my church who God has anointed, and he's already visited 400 politicians and prayed with them. They started to come around the church. We just did a crusade in Ocala, Florida, invited by the mayor of Ocala to come because the crime rate in Ocala, Florida is 161 times higher than the national average. Their children, 8 years old in Ocala, selling crack cocaine on the streets. We went in for 2 weeks and had 5,000 people saved. We've just been invited by the mayor of Brooksville to come. He was in church 2 Sundays ago. So we are now being invited by the mayors to come and have meetings. Because the churches are too scared to have us, but the mayors know that they've got such a crime problem, they need something. Amen. It's pretty amazing what's happening. But anyway, I wrote this. America today, 236 years old, born the 4th of July, 1776, burst out of a pain and a hunger to worship freely. Wise men with their dreams came from the east. The first winter survived through the red man. They were blessed. Thanksgiving, a yearly reminder, we were blessed out of their provision, the new land yielding of her bounty. The fight for the new world is made from east to west, new frontiers, covenant made, trail of tears. The red man would also give his blood as covenants were broken. Over the decades and down through the years, through all the pain, sorrow, and many tears, many a man would lay down his life for freedom's dream. And so while the sword and the cannon spoke, the pen, being mightier than them all, produced a Bill of Rights. Wise fathers penned the Constitution. From this Constitution we cannot sway. Not one jot or tittle can be allowed to be taken away, not even by the highest courts of the land, for if altered, America no more will stand. One nation under God, united, defeated the enemy's might. Our flag was still flying by the dawn's early light, propped up by our flesh as men would resist to lower the flag, the broad stripes and bright stars that would signal a nation had been born, tyranny swept aside. The flag was still waving over the land of the free and home of the brave. Many wars were fought on every front, even among us, brother to brother. The blue and the gray as the red blood flowed, giving way to the red, the white, and the blue. Slavery, the curse of every family, the cry of every mother, brought to a halt the desire of all to be free. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, and from the Declaration of Independence we cannot sway. Ellis Island would become the place where the stranger would come seeking freedom, the lady with the lamp, the way beaming. Give me your tired and huddled masses, they will find rest on my shores. 13 states that became one nation under God would grow to become a jubilee of 50 nations within our borders. Many times over the years, the balance of power would sway. Thankfully, three divisions of government would equally tip the scales, the checks and balances by our founding fathers laid. The dream that all would be equal from the mountain, the promised land was seen, that we would not be judged by the color of our skin. America would become the land of jubilee, the place of the dream. This nation has walked away from its plumb line. 3 million plus laws on the statute books you find, replacing the Ten Commandments, prayer taken out of schools. Our people are oppressed by drugs and alcohol, slaves to pornography and STDs and HIV. Millions of unborn babies aborted, while many are trying not to retain God in their knowledge. They're given over to a reprobate mind, professing themselves to be wise, to become fools. Something has to be done and must be done soon, and this cannot be done without divine intervention. And this is the day and this is the hour we must hear from heaven, and so now we pray. You have guided us these many years. Now hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. For you were seen in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. Yes. Altars were built in the evening dews and damps. As you died to make men holy, so we will live to make them free. Your truth is marching on. O sovereign heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray, grant mercy on us one more time as you have each century. A generation now lost their way. May we still say in God we trust and be one nation under thee. Heavenly Father, we as a generation refuse to give up. We will stand as one, humble ourselves and pray. Seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. You promised to come and heal our land. A new generation is rising up with faith and the anointing to set the captives free, marching through the land to see another great awakening. This is our purpose. This is our goal, igniting a generation for a nation to fulfill its call, America. Now, in closing, because people said to me, and I met with many leaders, I mean, there's people even in the African-American community who told me that the Constitution is flawed. This is preachers. Because the President Obama, you can hear him talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's talking from the Capitol buildings, talk about the Constitution being sacred, and then he's talking about the Constitution is flawed because it was formed through the colonialist mindset of the day. And I'm just telling you what's going on. I've got the facts on this, and I have to defend the Constitution. And I'm here to mobilize you because you are responsible for people everywhere you go. Don't just go hide yourself in the sand and go hide and hope it's going to go away and just pray. You've got to actively do something on a daily basis. All this stuff is available. You can YouTube it. You can Google it. You can Google it. Just Google it. I played this in our church. I'm going to play it. Yeah, you talked about the Kennedy speech. This was JFK in 1961. I'm going to play it for you, if you don't mind. He's talking about secrecy. It's 5 minutes. Time for America to wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Now, I was born the year that he said that, so I didn't know him at all, but I think that was probably the last great American president we had. And you might say, well, he was a Democrat. He probably would be Republican today because the whole thing shifted. So, but that's beside the point. The Republican Party is corrupted to the highest levels as the Democratic Party because the people that are just worried about their party, they're not concerned about America. They're not concerned about the concert. They're concerned about their party. This is not a party thing. This is a national thing. This is about America. Now, you might say, do you think it's too far gone? I prayed last year. I said, Lord, please tell me that we're not too late on this. I mean, if we're too late, it's too late. There's nothing we can do about it. But I believe that there's going to come a rising of God's people under the anointing of the Spirit of God. That will turn the tide one more time. I believe that with all of my heart. Yes. Now, it might take a few things happening where people get their back against the wall and realize we better do something now, otherwise it's over. So maybe we're not at that place yet. Maybe some are still lulled to sleep and they think everything's fine and the economy's recovered and they don't understand. It's all propped up artificially. Wall Street is fake and has been for many years. The Dow Jones has been artificially propped up. And kept at that place. It's all fake, ladies and gentlemen. And so, while everybody thinks it's all going to be fine, without God's intervention, it's not going to be fine. The end of the end. This is it. This is it now. But that's why I believe God sent me as a missionary from Africa 24 years ago to come to America. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to be afraid of. What I tell you is facts. I didn't make it up. It's true. You can study it for yourself. But we, the church, we called of God, have to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, this is it now. And by the anointing of God, we're going to take America back. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to take America back. Now, just so you know, we're starting in the fall a school of government in Tampa, Florida, which probably going to have about 30 students to, and we're going to train people to run for high office. I felt we've got to do it. We've got to put the people. I've got the curriculum. I've got the huge curriculum for the whole school of government. I've got people, generals and retired people. They all come in to teach and everything. We're going to train people to run for different offices in different areas. Take your county when you get home. Find out who's running. Find out what they believe. See how they measure up to the Constitution. Find out the locals. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to vote in the upcoming election. I'll slap you right now. You better vote. Don't worry about the top end. I mean, don't worry about the vote for whoever you're going to at the top end. It doesn't really matter. That's far gone. But the locals, the new people in, county commissioner, the sheriff's office, all the local, the judges, all of these things, school board district, mayor's office, your state representative, all these local areas in your county, affect your county. How many believe that you would take on responsibility for the county that you live in? Three of you. That's phenomenal. I'm so excited. Boy, I'm so glad I came here today. Three people going to take on the responsibility of your county. Would you take time out of your schedule to go meet the elected officials that are there right now?
That's good.
Go and interview them. Find out what they believe.
That's good.
Somebody said, it's not my job to do it. Why not? Why not ask the voice of the Lord in your region? Would you go do that? We've been doing that. They come. They bring them to come see me. They come to my office in Tampa. They bring them on Sunday morning. They put them through a 3.5-hour Sunday morning service. Oh, yeah. We have been fun. And we bring them in subjection to the Word of God. And, of course, we use the Constitution because that's it. Now, one man said to me, he said, well, the Constitution doesn't have the Bible in it. I said, there was a reason they didn't put it. It is inspired through the Word of God, but they couldn't put it in there because, remember, they were breaking away from the tyranny of the Church of England, which the king was over. So they couldn't put scripture and verse into the Constitution because it would look like another decree from the government. That's why they kept it separate that way. But that does not mean to say they took God out of the Constitution, because the Constitution mentions God. And I'm really here about the business of America. I'm here for this country, for this land. So I know that I sound like somebody on the circuit looking for votes, but I'm not. This is totally different. I promise you right now. Somebody said, you should run for office. I would have to stoop too low to go to office. I am in my office now of what God called me to do, to bring revival to America and see a great awakening. But I'm also not going to be quiet. If I had time today, I would play you all kinds of clips. I would show you the Federal Reserve under investigation, trying to explain why there's $9 trillion worth of off-balance sheet transactions. They don't know where it's gone to. $9 trillion? $9 trillion? In actual fact, it's more. $27 trillion disappeared. $27 trillion disappeared. So the money is still there. It's not lost. It's just moved. Now, some people say, I'm telling them not to pay taxes. You better pay your taxes, because even Jesus paid taxes. So I don't mind. I'll pay Caesar. It's no problem, because I'm blessed to be able to pay Caesar. So pay your taxes. At least your taxes are trying to help America pay the Federal Reserve back, because they got a gun to America's head, say, give me your money. The biggest heist. Bonnie and Clyde are saints. Bonnie and Clyde are saints compared to what we have right now in government. Al Capone would be a bishop. The corruption is at the highest level, the greed. Because people have been bought and sold their soul for a price. And not only that, committed high treason and sold out America. And of course, that was done at the turn of the last century. I wish I had time to really get back into, go back into the whole Rothschild banking cartels and how that whole thing was funded, and how they funded all the wars, how they funded England and funded Napoleon, and then told England that England lost, and all the British sold everything, and then Nathan Rothschild bought up the whole of England. And the Bank of England actually funded the Fed. So guess what? The trail flows. They have 100 Delaware corporations in the Rothschild Corporation. Federal Reserve owns American Express. Federal Reserve owns AT&T. And it goes on. The list goes on. You can track it down. You can find out. So what is America? It's actually a corporation. I'm actually a slave in a corporation. You want to know my slave number? If I gave it to you, I would give you my Social Security number. That's my slave number. Every American citizen is collateral for this nation to leverage. And I love immigration, but if you come here, please learn the language. Yeah. And if you come here, have your traditions, but don't try to change America to your traditions. Become an American. Otherwise, go back to where you came from. Please. Amen. There's whole enclaves in America of foreign nations that have nothing to do with America. What? That's why we've got to get in and evangelize every one of these. We're doing it across the city of Tampa. 31 Bible studies happening across through the inner cities. Thousands of people are being saved. They don't all come to our church. We got one church in Tampa that's grown from 200 to 1,200 in 18 months. Just doing what we do. Church is exploding. Because we don't go and push our church. Besides that, I don't want everybody in our church. And besides that, not everybody's going to like a 3.5 hour Sunday morning service. I like a 3.5 hour Sunday morning service. But not everybody would like it. So let them go to what they like. But the crime rate in Hillsborough County is down 63%, reported in the newspapers, documented fact. We've got people running for office. I lay hands on them. They fall under the power. I keep them under the anointing. And really, to run for office is probably a very wicked thing because it's so violent out there. It's almost like being in the ministry. It's almost like being in the ministry. The viciousness. I mean, you actually wonder, why would people even want to run for office? But somebody has to do it. God chooses people to be in leadership in government. And I believe in this hour, God's going to raise up people full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God, with the wisdom of God and the government of God to go in and be in government, in places of authority. Can you say amen? Because behind all of this is this original conspiracy set by Lucifer to plunder man. Somebody said, well, I just pray Jesus will come. I just pray Jesus will come. Well, what are you going to do till he comes? Is this helping anybody here this morning? It's good. And the same goes for every nation that you're from.
Oh, absolutely.
Canada, I mean, fight for it. Absolutely. Australia, fight for it. And there's no nation that's safe. There's a lot of nations that look safe, but they're already far gone. They're already in the system. They just don't know it because they think they're far away from the fray. But they've been set up years ago already. God's going to give us a game changer. That suddenly he'll reposition the church in this hour. Well, the devil thought he had it wrapped up. But he's not going to be able to do what he thinks he's going to do. Because there's an army of men and women rising up in the anointing of the Spirit of God. And they draw a line in the sand to say, absolutely not. And it might cost some of us our lives. I mean, let me tell you the other side of it. It might cost us our lives. But I'd rather go knowing that I stood for truth and righteousness. It's like the three Hebrew children, man. We won't bow. We may burn, we won't bow. But because we don't bow, we won't burn. And even if we go on, we still go on to glory. So it doesn't really matter either way which we win. But we do. We do everything we can for our generation, fighting for our generation to see our region shaken by the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 So God will speak to you. He'll speak to you in the night hours. He'll give you divine strategy. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. And go meet with different people. Doesn't matter what party they are. Hold them all accountable. Hold them all accountable. Whoever's in office, don't shun them because they're not of the party that you don't like. Go in there and talk to them because they still represent you whether they think or not. Say, hey, you elected official. Now we need to talk. This is unacceptable. Let me close with this. I got a hold of the writings of John G. Lake that has not been published. Now, how many have heard of John G. Lake? John G. Lake actually was a multimillionaire in real estate and got rid of everything because he felt he wanted to trust God. It's amazing. I meet people that have nothing. They want to be multimillionaires so they can go and obey God and then they can be in the ministry. And then I meet millionaires that want to have nothing so they could go in the ministry and trust God. You know, I mean, Lord have mercy. Just trust God, you know. But anyway, he gave away everything, and God used him in a phenomenal way. Went to South Africa. 550 churches were started out of his ministry. It's still one of the leading Pentecostal denominations in our country, even though they are probably more Dutch Reformed than they are Pentecostals now. But last year, I spoke at the World Conference in Zimbabwe of the Zimbabwean group of this denomination. There's 1.2 million people. And the night I was there was 60,000. And the crowd grew to 100,000 on the third night, just in the denomination of the Apostolic Faith Mission, which was founded by John G. Lake. But when the revival hit South Africa, with signs and wonders and miracles, there was a butcher by the name of Van Vuren. And this man had contracted, I believe it was tuberculosis, and it was dying. So he sold his butcher shop and he bought a farm where his wife and his children would be taken care of. But somebody wrote him a letter to tell him of the great miracles that were happening under Dr. Lake's ministry and how this person had been come out of a wheelchair and that this other individual was healed of tuberculosis. And this farmer went out and he went in the hot African sun and he went under this thorn bush and he knelt there and he was reading this letter and he began to pray and he said, God, if you can bring this person out of this wheelchair and you can heal this other one of tuberculosis, then come and heal me. And he did business with God. He transacted with God that day. He cried out. And the fire of God hit him under that bush. And within an instant, he was miraculously healed. He stood straight up. Every tuberculosis had left his body. And he walked in the house. Now, he was born again. His wife was not. He'd been trying to get her saved for 19 years. She wouldn't give her life to Christ. But he walked into the farmhouse and she'd come through from the kitchen and she saw him. And as she saw him, she knew something had happened. She fell on her knees and she said, oh, Dan, pray for me. I need God. And he led her to Christ. And then he led all 11 of his children to Christ. And they all got the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. And the fire of God was so on him that for the next 3 months, he took it upon himself to go to every person in the South African government. This is probably early 1900s, you know, early at the time Louis Botha was president. I don't have the exact dates, but probably 1918. I'm not sure I can pull up the exact date, but it was a long time ago. And the Prime Minister of South Africa, Louis Botha, who had met John G. Lake, told this to Lake, and Lake wrote it down in his own words. And I tried to always imitate the South African accent of what it must have sounded like when the Prime Minister, who is an Afrikaner, would tell Lake what transpired. But the Prime Minister said, Lake, I tell you, we know Van Vuren. He was a real scallywag. But when he walked in the door, He looked like God. He talked like God. And the prime minister said he began to shake and tremble, that he hid under his desk in the presidential office, shaking under the power as the Holy Ghost come on him. And this man, von Fuhren, went to every member of the cabinet, every member of the Senate, all the judges, everyone. In 3 months, there was not one person in office in South Africa at that moment, that time period in history, that did not know that there was a God in heaven that sent his son, and his son's name was Jesus, and there was the Holy Spirit that was sent on the day of Pentecost, and there was the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Everyone knew, and it exploded across the nation. 550 churches in a nation 1.5 times the size of the state of Texas. 550 churches were established. And Pentecost shook the nation because one man went to go see those in power, but he didn't go in there to kowtow to them. He didn't go in there to placate them. He went in there with the fire of God. And so it shall be in this day and this hour that men and women under the anointing of God will walk into those in office, but they shall not be there to say nice words. They shall bring the word of the Lord, and when they do, men shall tremble and quake under the hand of Almighty God, and God will set things in order, and divine order shall come again, and one more time the glory of God shall sweep across this land. One more time America shall be shaken with another great awakening. One more time we shall see the hand of God, and the glory of God shall flow from sea to shining sea. One more time from Maine to the Keys, to San Diego, to Seattle, across the state of Alaska and the Hawaiian chain, even to the island nation of Guam, all the way to Puerto Rico, the glory of God shall be made manifest. One more time we shall see the hand of God. One more time the glory of God. One more time. One more time. One more time. One more time.
We can do better than South Africa. We're a better nation than South Africa. So let us rise up and take the challenge of God. Hallelujah.
It really has nothing to do with better nation, because it's all people that are dealt the hand they dealt. So it's got nothing to do with better nations, because what was good has now become bad. Because in actual fact, we're not a better nation right now. Right now, we as corrupt as any corrupt nation on the face of the planet. But they're good people that are living in a corrupt nation. Now, the Lord said this to me. Two things I'll share with you, and then we're going to pray. And we're supposed to receive an offering here this morning. My God knows. Help. Jesus, please. I mean, we'll try to do that before everybody leaves. But the Lord said this to me. He said, tell the church to speak to the Son. I actually prophesied this. And when I prophesied, I had to listen to what I was saying, because I never used this phraseology before. But I heard the Lord say, I began to prophesy, I said, tell the church to speak to the Son. And tell the Son, no, you are not set just yet. For the Son is far setting on the horizon of time. But just like Joshua spoke to the Son, and I gave him one more day of daylight, so as the church would speak to the Son, tell it not to set, I will grant unto the church one more hour, for there's not a day left. But one more hour shall be granted unto the church. And then the sun will set forever. But that one more hour shall give the greatest harvest of souls that will come into the kingdom. And then the sun will set forever. So we have a responsibility When we get to heaven, we can't say, Lord, what happened there? The Lord said, look, I had you there. You didn't do anything. I gave you my word. I gave you my name. I gave you my blood. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you the angels. I gave you five smooth stones to help you. And you didn't do anything with it. You just went to church. You gathered together. You sang. You received offerings. You preached. You shouted, but you did nothing outside of the church. You did nothing outside of the framework of the church. While you were in the church, it was wonderful, and that's why you had to get back to another meeting so you could feel what you felt. But you never took what you felt out there so they could feel what you felt. Because everything that you need, He's given it to you. And it's easy in here. It's like I said last night, you bring an Aflac duck in here and he'll get anointed. But it's when you go out and you're facing all hell. It's when they take you and throw you in a lion's den. And then the lion's mouths are locked. When they take you and throw you into the fiery furnace. But the flame doesn't do anything to you. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and in parts of China are dying right now for the cause of Christ. And we've had it so easy in America. It's time to not take for granted anymore. Pastors, it's time to not take your office for granted anymore. It's time to stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Come out on Sunday mornings with both guns blazing. Run a bulldozer through the front of the shop. Just announce to them you invited an evangelist and he has the same name as you. And do the work of an evangelist. And smack the thing up the side of the head. And release the anointing that God's placed in your life. Over your town, over your city, over your region. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the Lord showed me this merchandising and trafficking, I began to see whole nations. Oh, it's been the most incredible journey the last year. God started showing me the inner workings of nations and how all this stuff works together. Stuff I never knew. And I said, Lord, I said, how come you didn't tell me now until now? He said, you would have been distracted. But he said, I wanted you to do what you did. And now I'm going to take you to the next phase of your ministry. You'll do all that. But now there's going to be the added to it. And I'm going to show you how to take the body of Christ into function in what's coming in the days ahead. With no fear. With boldness. And the greatest days are upon us. The greatest move of God. The greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I believe there's people here with specific assignments for your nation, for your region, for your county, for your state. I really believe that. Can't leave it up to the people in government. You can't leave it up. You have to pick up the baton. They can't do it because many of them don't even go to church. So you can't leave it up to them. You can't leave it up to them. You have to hold them subject to the Word of God. You have to hold them under the authority of the Word of God. And I tell every one of them when they come, so I don't need anything you have, but you need everything I have. Now that sounds arrogant. But they have the missing thing, and that's the anointing of God. So there's nothing that they have that I need. You need me more than I need you. I'll help you, but I'm not going to help you into wickedness. I'll help you into truth and righteousness. And we're going to hold you accountable. If you're going to be representing this county, then you're going to be going by this constitution, and we're going to stand up and fight. And we're going to draw a line in the sand. Can you say amen? How many will take it upon you that if God will lead you, if you'll pray about it, fast and pray, do whatever it takes to start visiting all the elected officials in your county? Come on. Will you take this on yourself? Just say, I need him to have a meeting with you. And sit down and start talking about the spiritual climate. Do a study. Find out what the crime rate in your city is. Do you know about human trafficking? Do you know that the worst slavery is going on right now? Worse than any slavery in any other time on the planet. 1.5 million people going to slavery every year. The sex trafficking industry, it's at its height. America is the worst perpetrator of it right now. Not only that kind of trafficking, but also the trafficking for the harvesting of body parts, where they're harvesting kidneys and hearts and livers. This is happening. Well, we can't sleep. There's no time. If you're bored in the ministry, you ain't doing nothing. This is not the time to sleep. This is the time to crank everything up. Hallelujah. I'm excited that we get to live in this hour. I'm excited that we get to live now. My God. Hallelujah. What an hour to be alive. And the Lord handpicked every single one of us to be here right now. Isn't that amazing? God must have felt that we were the people to live in this hour, that we were made out of the right kind of stuff to do whatever needs to, that we are His hands, His feet, His mouthpiece. You got to pinch yourself. What a privilege. What an honor. I came out against this whole racial thing that just happened with Trayvon Martin, where the president didn't even tell the people to calm down. He actually helped fuel the thing. And I told our people, I said, do not be sucked into any racial problem. We've already dealt with that. That's a wicked plan of the enemy to get us diverted, fighting one another so they can steal even more. Keep your eyes on the real wickedness that's going on in the country. Don't be distracted. Switch off NBC, ABC, CNN, the Communist News Network. Stop watching that rubbish. It's propaganda. It's not what's happening. It's not what's happening. If you want to, I use Twitter. I follow every news agency around the world, plus many world leaders, and I know what's happening the moment it happens. I mean, it comes at the speed of a tweet. I know what happens. Media from around the world. You follow 200 different agencies, you can find out what's going on the moment it happens. Fact, not filtered through NBC, ABC, CNN. Not what they want to tell you. You can find out what's really happening. And you can be on it. I'm on it. Every morning I check everything. I know exactly what's happening. I'm watching. My eyes are on what's going on. I'm not asleep. It's time to wake up. Somebody says it's got nothing to do with me. It has. It's my generation. It's got everything to do with me. Because God's going to hold me responsible for what I did. And ignorance is no excuse. Amen? Amen? Ignorance is no excuse. Now, tonight, I'm going to lay hands on people and pray for people. I know people say, well, aren't you going to do that? Yeah, well, that's fine. We've had, you know, thank God we can do that. But I felt I have to deliver this to you. Thank you. And I like what Finney said. I said, I get down and pray like it all depends on God. And I get up and go like it all depends on me. I'm about to put a super PAC together. If you know what that's a political action committee. And we're gonna put people into office. Listen, we're gonna put our own lobby groups. I'm sick and tired of these people running everything. Forget about it. We're gonna have our own lobby groups in Washington. We're gonna be in your face. This is it, man. You declare war on the American Constitution, and you're my enemy, and I'm coming after you. By God, I'll rout you out. Every single one of you, I'll rout you out. I'll rout you out. I'll find you. We'll find you in your foxhole and we'll rout you out. You're not going to have America. Period. That's it. Wrap me in the flag. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just be seated for a moment. How many know what I'm telling you is the truth? Wave your hand at me.
Yes.
Maybe you're a little shocked to hear this coming from the pulpit. But I've always told the truth from the pulpit. And we really need a change, a total change in everything. From education to the medical field to the judicial side. Everything. Agriculture. It's all corrupted. I believe God's going to give us not only the strategy, but the finances to fund what needs to be done. God's going to give us the finances. I'm talking about billions of dollars. Whether it comes from euros, dollars, yen, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I'm talking about billions of dollars. Because to do what we need to do is going to take funds. And it can't be done through offerings. Offerings are good, but they can only do limited amount. It has to be the unlocking of the finances in order to empower the people of God to do what they need to do. Because the moment you have the finances, you have the ability to speak into the situation. Okay, let me throw out a ridiculous thing to you right now. Let me throw out a ridiculous thing. How many want to get a little ridiculous here for a moment? Yeah. Just for a second. What would happen if God empowered us to buy the debt of America? Because people say, well, pay it off, but they won't let you pay it off. Because they don't want it paid off. But what if we bought it? And we just held it and we never called on it. Think about it. Just toy with my ridiculousness for a moment. What would happen if we, the body of Christ, could buy the debt and just hold it? You know, China has a couple of trillion, but what if we bought the debt? What if God so empowered us? Well, I've lost most of you already. What if God so empowered us that we were able to buy the debt of America and just never call on it because we love our country? No, we'll buy the debt. We'll carry it. No problem. Because didn't he say we'd lend to many nations and shall not borrow? All right, well, I lost many of you. People went on tilt. But what if God is about to put into our hands what if we were able to go into countries like in Africa and say, what do you owe the World Bank? $5 billion, no problem, we'll pick it up. What do you owe the IMF? $2.5 billion, we'll pay it, except now we want frequencies for television. We need this for the gospel, and we'll carry it. And you're not going to borrow from them anymore. You're going to borrow from us. We lend to many nations, not borrow. Somebody said, well, that's not going to happen. You know, Antichrist is about to take over, and one money system. Over my dead body. Over my dead body. Not on my watch. He can come later, but he ain't come on my watch. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, you crazy. Yeah, well, I am. I'm peculiar. I am. I'm crazy. Have been that way for years. But then I'm drunk. I get drunk on the new wine, think I can do anything. So that's the problem. If you get to fly with me, you got to come drink with me. You come drink the new wine of heaven, you'll get crazy like me. Because when you get drunk on the new wine, you just think, we can do that. Hallelujah, yeah. Remember what I said last night? The Lord said, tell my people to ask largely. Don't ask small. I'm asking for America. I'm not greedy. We'll just take the whole of America. But then I threw in a few other countries as well. Canada, Mexico. You know, we'll just take it all. Let's just take it all. What if God puts in our hands unlimited resources?
Jesus.
To walk right in and pick up the debt of nations. Could it be possible that this could even happen? Somebody said, where do you get this stuff from? I don't know. I just, the fire of God come on me and I start thinking crazy things. What if we start taking over prisons? And the judges have to release them in our hands, except praise and worship plays 24 hours a day. And everybody's put in a cell until they're totally delivered and speaking other tongues. Where some prisoners will beg to go to the other prison. You go in there, you covered out, saved, healed, set free, delivered, on fire, graduated as a full-time evangelist. Seriously? Seriously? Because the other system has failed. That's crime university. They come out and they go into deeper crimes, more crimes, more crimes. They're going to go back into prison. So that's failed. Prison system's not working, not with 6 million people incarcerated in the United States, not working. So what if we do something different? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said this to me. He said, what I'm about to put into your hands, he said, you can't own it. You can only steward it. If you own it, it'll kill you because it's more than you can ever imagine. But you can steward it. But you cannot own it. Because that's all we are. We're stewards. It's not ours. It's His. What did He say? If you've been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who can finish it for me? Then He'll give you the what? So I've been praying the last number of years, Lord, I've been faithful with the true riches. Give me this other side so that we can empower the church. Where we're going to see a whole nation shaken in a matter of days. Can you imagine a crusade in every city and town and village in a nation in a 10-day period of time?
Yes. Yes.
With 100 evangelists.
Yes. My God.
And then everybody mobilized to win people to the Lord on the streets. Paid for. Paid for. Go right in. And start rolling through nations with 10-day meetings full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, are you going to preach it? No, I'm probably not going to preach. I want to fund it. No, I don't have to preach. No, I'm not looking for a place to preach. I got a place. I got Tampa, Florida. Adonik and I have just spent 8 weeks teaching in our Bible school Monday to Friday. We did last year two months this year. Now I'm not looking for another place to preach. What if we could hire 100,000 soul winners and put 2,000 in every state that all they do is win souls morning, noon, and night? They have a card and they get a daily allowance on the card. They don't have to worry about their food, accommodation, nothing. They just win souls. And we track them every day because we can track them. We can see what they're doing and they're bringing in results. What would happen if we could do these things? Somebody said, you dream these things. No, no, I feel these things.
Yes.
Can a nation be shaken in a day?
Yes.
Jesus.
Some nations, we could eat them like a chocolate chip cookie. I mean, just quickly. They're not that big. 100,000 people. Just go in, take it in 10 days. Take the whole country. Get them out of debt. And then put the body of Christ together. We start unifying the church globally. We become the most powerful political force, the most powerful spiritual force, the most powerful financial force in the world. And the body of Christ rise up. And we tell the sun, no, you can't set just yet. And God will give us one more hour of daylight. Because one thing I know, Brother Don, is when I get to the other side, I want to say, but I swung the bat every which way but loose. You know, I look at the Lord and say, look, I tried everything. I mean, I did. I promise you. I mean, I didn't hold nothing back. We swung every which way but loose. So I know I can spend eternity knowing I did everything I could while I was alive with every breath that I had. And then I never shirked on anything and never just gave it 10% or 20%. I gave it everything. I gave it 150%. Samson was a deliverer, walked off with the city gates, took a jawbone of his mother-in-law and killed 1,000 of the enemy. But he played with the anointing. The anointing's not there to play with. The anointing's there for a purpose. Amen. I better shut up right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there any questions quickly about anything I've said here today? Any questions? Yes, sir. What the mark of the beast is. Well, it's going to be where you can't buy or sell without it. It'll probably be computer chips. But they're already trying to do that right now. They're trying to get it done in the Obamacare. 1,000 pages is to put a chip in everybody by the end of 2013. It's already there in the Obamacare bill. And all your financial information will be on it. And you just put your hand there and take the money out and it'll track you, and you won't be able to buy or sell without it. So that's how close we are to all this stuff. But, you know. Yes, sir. As the Lord releases me, you can start right now part-time, and then promotion will come. Yes, sir.
With what you're talking about, if you could recommend three things to read.
If you could recommend three things to read. What I'm talking about today. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You just have to go and start searching on the internet. I mean, this is one of the reasons why they want to try to shut the internet down, because so much stuff is freely available. But there's a lot of things. I just started studying every president. I went back and took from the first president all the way down, took the Constitution, started looking at the fight, the whole central banking system, how it came, read it, said they defeated, and then it came up again and whatever, and then started looking at other nations and just study history. Not the rewritten history, but the actual history that actually took place. Because history repeats itself. The problem with the modern generation, they don't know what the previous generation dealt with, and they forget, so history always repeats itself. It comes around again. So, I mean, you know, while we went through the Nazi Germany and the concentration camps, we could go to that in America in 5 years. We didn't have whole concentration camps where thousands of people are put to death right in America. Somebody said, it can't happen. It happened then, it'll happen now. It can happen again, it happens. We had concentration camps in Africa where the British came in and threw all of the Afrikaners in concentration camps and killed them. So it's been around for a long, long time. It's not new. History repeats itself. Yes, sir.
Where'd that Kennedy clip come from?
It's on YouTube, and it's called JFK Secrecy Speech. Okay. He gave it in 1961 to the press. You can just YouTube it. Yes. Do we think we're going to have martial law? Well, it's been signed in, and they all have to do is to implement it. But it'll take a major event in order to implement martial law. Like either a run on the banks. If every American went to the bank tomorrow trying to get all their cash out, the banks don't have the money, then you'd have riots in the streets and then declare martial law. So that's how close we could be going to martial law. Whether it will happen or not, I'm praying it doesn't happen because I don't think Americans are ready for it. So we could go to martial law at any time. It would just take a big event in America to cause this to happen. Yes? Huh? What is Obamacare? It's a 1,000-page document that was pushed through the Congress and was signed in. And it's all to do with medical requirements of how, which doctors you'll be allowed to go to and not go to. So you won't be have the freedom to go to the doctor you think, and the cost of medication and all socialized medicine. It's really communism, basically. And the moment that the people become dependent upon the government for handouts, for food, for medication, then basically you're just a slave of a system, because God never intended us to be dependent upon the government. So this is very, very important. You know, I saw hands over this side. Yes. What about the role of China? Well, China, you know, China's rising as a superpower right now. The only thing with China is China's going to have its own problem because they've got their own central banking system and they're printing money like crazy. They've learned from the Federal Reserve System here. And so China's going to get themselves into major problems. There are mega cities in China that have been built. They spend billions of dollars and nobody lives there. So China's going to have its own set of problems. Ultimately, the system's going to implode, whether they go for another 50 years or 100 years. A system without God will always implode. So that's why nations rise and they fall and whatever. So, but China's only one of the things in the equation, you know. Remember this, that there are 100 million Chinese Christians and believers that actually could be a major equation in the gospel being spread, because these people are on fire. They're not weak and lukewarm like the American church. These people know how to pray and they believe God. So that China, don't look at China as a negative. There's a positive coming out of China, and they're radical Chinese Christians. So, you know, pray for China, go to China, preach in China, do whatever you can for China, but don't worry about China. Yes. Well, I mean, you've got the liberals on the Supreme Court and you've got the conservatives. So, but whoever's in office in this next term will put all liberals in. So the last vestiges, because the Supreme Court's job is to take the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution, and enforce it, not to rewrite it, which that's what we've got to be careful on. So we've got to uphold the Constitution. That's the document on which America stands, that will ensure the rights of people, everybody, white, black, red, yellow, whatever. Remember, America came through the struggles of what it dealt with slavery. It came through the struggles with what it dealt with racism. But there's still racism in America. I mean, you can't legislate people loving each other. You can't legislate that at all. So, you know, but that's why we've got to pray for righteous people to be in the Supreme Court. And any other questions, quickly? Yes, sir. Was it voted on at the foundation of it? It was signed in by Woodrow Wilson. They made a deal with him, said, if you sign this in, you'll be president. It was only later on Woodrow realized he did a disservice to the country. But it was too late at that time because it was now instituted. You know, it is what it is. I'm not even saying to do away with it, because if you do away with it, what are you going to put in its place? You've got to have something in its place, because that is the system we function in. So we're going to have to function within Pharaoh's system at this time until we can put enough godly leaders in power and authority to turn the thing around. But you can't just do away with it, because you still have to function with currencies. And there was a group in New England, I believe, they came up with their own, they got gold, they backed it, they printed their own money, but the Fed came in, shut them down, charged them for counterfeiting. I think Michigan's using its own currency right now in some towns and whatever. And people have gone to bartering like the old days where they're bartering different things. But Louisiana, the state of Louisiana now, it's illegal to have cash at a garage sale. Yeah, they just passed that law in Louisiana. You can't have cash at a garage sale. They want to track the cash and stop people from selling things privately. So the clampdown is coming at local level. That's why you need to know locally what's going on in your state. You need to go find out what the education bills are being passed. You need to find out what agricultural bills are being passed. You need to go and study these things. You, as the body of Christ, we need to know what's going on, and we need to stand up and say, no, we're not tolerating this in our state, and mobilize the people. I sent 2 busloads up to Tallahassee, and we fought the abortion bill, and we stopped it. We stopped the abortion bill from proceeding. We haven't got it revoked yet, but we stopped it from proceeding. And if we get our way to pass this thing, it's going to shut down the abortion clinics in the state of Florida. So,
hallelujah.
We sent busloads of our people to the school board hearings. And we're getting involved. We stopped the gambling bill in the state of Florida. We stopped that. We just stopped that. This year alone.
Wow.
So I'm moving hard on it. I've got people telling me, Pastor, this bill's coming out. Mobilize. I get on the phones. We mobilize people, get them moving. And we're doing what we can. But county by county, state by state, we can see by the grace of God and the glory of God, the church rise up. Amen?
Amen.
You happy? One more question, quickly, from this side. One more, there.
How would you pray for the emasculated leadership?
How would we pray for the emasculated leadership? Look, I mean, Lord have mercy, I don't know. He wants to know, how do you pray for the emasculated leadership? Well, I mean, it's in the church as well. You know, so, you know, as the church is, so the government is. I just pray that some people grow a pair. Amen. Yeah, I'm supposed to receive an offering right now for our ministry. I know. But this is important. You know, this is very important. Not that the offering is, but this is important.
Yes, it is.
And hallelujah. All right, well, let's receive an offering, shall we? The motion has come from the floor, and I yield to the lady from the state of Texas. It's motion on the second. Oh, yeah, seconded, yeah. Just so we see, listen, the finances that come in here, they go to our ministry. It doesn't come to me. It goes to the Great Awakening for the harvest. And this year, we're moving around across America. We are mobilizing people in this harvest. Obey God. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Keep us in your prayers. We are not without enemies, as you can imagine. Amen. But that does not frighten us one bit. We are not scared one whit. Yeah,
and
sure.
And that was my Jubilee gift because I got money I wasn't expecting.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is made. Did you make it out of Revival Ministries? Uh-huh. I'll make sure it gets in.
Okay.
Now, tonight I'll pray for everybody, but I felt I needed to give this download.